Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast with two exciting weeks. You're going to so enjoy this. I have as my guests with their love story, my elder son,
Terry Brim,
and my administrative assistant and also his beautiful wife.
Good morning, Lynn Brim.
You know, I've said about both of my boys, they overmarried, and it really is the truth. Terry told me, he said, you know, Mom, I think I'm married to the best woman in the world. Isn't that nice? But here's how they got together. And we're telling this story about a visitation that Terry had in the middle of the nighttime, actually in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning on August 18, 1999. He was living out here on Prayer Mountain. We were trying to build it. We didn't have the proper finances that we needed. He was in charge of the building. He also had been divorced for some years, and he was wanting a wife, and he'd had some relationships. None of them worked out, and that one relationship that day, the young woman was honest with him and told him what she thought about his living in a trailer with no ambition, and not just any trailer. I myself right now live in a mobile, and or Terry calls it a modular. But he was living in a travel trailer that should have probably gone to the dump a long time before.
You could pull it with a Volkswagen.
So he was living out here on Prayer Mountain, and she just that day broke up. And so he went to bed very frustrated. And we're going to go right into what God said to him at 3 o'clock that morning. Terry, read that. Just begin again and read the first paragraph. That he contacted me. He called me the next day. I had him write it all out that night, that next day. And then so here it is, just fresh the way it came from him.
You mean from the very beginning?
Yeah, just start right here. It was Tuesday night, August 18.
It was Tuesday night. I was concerned for the finances of the ministry and for other things that had left me frustrated. Those other things were relationships. In that frustration, I cried out to God, "Do any of your promises or laws work?" I went to bed that night thinking I am going to figure out a way to generate finances to finish the new administration building.
I'm going to do it. See, God can't get it done, huh?
Right, exactly. And I might as well seek and find my own wife without God's help.
God, you didn't do that. Oh, praise the Lord. Go ahead.
And, of course, I explained the afternoon earlier. That's when my girlfriend had broke up with me. And somehow I have put myself in a position where I have missed the blessing of God.
You were thinking that you were going to bed that night and you were thinking, I've just missed God's blessing. I don't have his blessing on my life.
I said, there's something about me.
There's something wrong, huh?
Yeah. Either I don't go to church enough, either I don't pray enough, or his promises just don't work for all. And that's the way I went to bed.
Ooh.
So I'd gotten myself in quite a stew.
You were in a stew. As I said yesterday on the broadcast, I myself, if I would be God, I would not have visited you that night because I don't see hardly an ounce of faith in here. It must have been your mother's prayers. Think so? No.
I think I went to bed and I just silently said, God, I know it's not you, but Lord, help me. Something like that.
Yeah. And so then what happened? Read the next paragraph.
Well, while I was in bed, I was suddenly awakened and I was told to get a sheet of paper and pen. Did I hear a physical voice? No, it was inside me. Mm-hmm. But yet it was stern. It was stern, like a school teacher, you know, like a stern
The voice of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have got up, but I could sense his presence in that trailer. And it was lit up.
Oh, my goodness.
Like I'd never known it to be. You know that day when you get born again, that first day, how the colors are so bright.
Uh-huh.
That's how it was that night in that trailer. And I can remember squinting my eyes at times. And I could sense his
The glory
presence.
Of his presence.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
In there. And then the following is what was written from the inspiration from that. And it was like a waterfall.
Came to
the
you
information just came
flowing.
To me like
just
a flowing. Waterfall. Mm-hmm. And the first statement here that he gave me, I mean, was it just rattled me. To my deepest part of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God does not bless or give us according to what we deserve or what we may think is good, but by spiritual laws that he set into existence. I think God Creflo Dollar didn't give me any credit because I'm telling you.
Creflo taught from this. Yeah.
This is God.
Uh-huh.
And that statement right there.
Read it again.
God does not bless or give to us according to what we deserve or what we may think is good, but by spiritual laws that he set into existence. Thank God he doesn't bless us according to what we deserve.
Thank God.
Thank God.
But how does he bless us?
By spiritual laws that he set into existence.
God has laws in the spirit that work like laws in the natural.
That's right.
Okay, and go ahead, reading, son.
Okay, many of these laws we became partakers in by being born again. There was really no effort on our part. It was paid for at Calvary by Jesus. Then there are other spiritual laws that doesn't matter if a person is born again, Christian or not, they will also work. And some of the ones that came to my mind, I think that I thought of them, give and it shall be given unto you. That'll work for the Christian or non-Christian.
Sure.
Another one that'll work also for Christian or non-Christian is Mark 11, 23.
Now, these came to your mind that night.
Yeah.
Well, now is that, so you see, Terry, he's speaking to you and he's also putting thoughts into your mind. He's thinking through your mind. And this came to you by that same voice, by that same inspiration. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you thought of given, it shall be given to you. That's a law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a spiritual law. And then the next one is Mark 11, 23.
Yes.
Okay, read that.
That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith.
So that's a law. If you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, it's going to come to pass. And that's a spiritual law.
You know, salvation works the same way.
Sure.
As that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are inspirations, and we have this absolutely free. This whole sheet of paper that Terry and I put together that night, we'll send you free. Tell you at the end of the broadcast, you can read it for yourself. But this is very powerful. Now Terry, he's going to begin reading here the next inspired utterance that was given to him.
This is the next one. Okay, uh-huh. You remember the first one. The first one was, God does not bless according to what we deserve or what we may think is good, but by spiritual laws that he set in existence. And now here's the next one. These laws are so powerful and active that they will keep a born-again Christian from receiving anything that God wants us to have. They'll work in the positive as well as in the negative.
All right, now I'm going to read that again, what you just read.
Okay.
These laws are powerful, so powerful and active, they will keep even born-again Christians from receiving what God wants us to have.
Yes.
Think about it. He wants you to prosper. But if you're going to be talking all the time, poverty.
Yes.
Then he wants to prosper you, but he can't do it.
Cannot do it.
Because he'd be overriding the spiritual law.
He's bound by this word.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, go ahead. These laws, they will work. Go ahead.
They will work in the positive or well as in the negative. So we are working in them. If you're talking doubt and unbelief, I'm sure that's what you're reaping.
You're right. They work in the negative.
Yes.
And they work in the positive.
They work.
They work.
For instance, go back to Mark 11:23. If we say the wrong or negative thing and believe it in our heart, it will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a twisted faith, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Misplaced faith.
Misplaced faith. Mm-hmm. Negative.
God had, now this is another thing that the Lord had showed me that I never thought about until then. And it had to do with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, go into
that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
God showed me Peter and reminded me how he had denied Jesus three times prior to his death. When Jesus met Peter after his resurrection, he asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" What Jesus was doing here, remember, he made him answer him too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seemed like Peter was getting a little bit, why is he doing this?
Up there at the Galilee, Sea of Galilee, he met him. He'd prepared fish there on the seashore, and here comes Peter, and he asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times.
See, Peter was discouraged. He left the faith.
Yeah. He said, "Let's go fishing."
He left with that baggage of denying his best friend and Savior.
Uh-huh.
And he was so discouraged, he went back fishing.
Mm-hmm. Back to his old?
Ways.
Mm-hmm. His old vocation.
But Jesus came over there and cooked some fish.
Yes. We go to that and place had a plan. On our Israel trip. It's
and
one of my favorite ones.
And he showed what his plan was for Peter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this what his plan was. Now remember, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times prior to his death. When Jesus met with Peter after his resurrection, he asked Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" What was Jesus doing here? Well, he was not only launching Peter's ministry, but he was stopping the effects of the words that Peter had spoken. You can already see the effects of his words that Peter had spoken. He went back fishing.
Yes, right.
Quit the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew Peter loved him, and Peter knew that Jesus loved him. That was not the main issue with Jesus. He was breaking the power of the words that were spoken.
Now I had never thought about this. I've heard sermons preached about the 3 different words for love and all of that. But the Lord spoke this to Terry that night. He said, I was not only launching his ministry, but I was breaking the power of the 3 denials. Remember, he had denied Jesus. Peter said, oh, I'll go with you to death. And the Lord Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Not that Jesus wanted him to deny him. He just knew what would happen. And Peter denied him 3 times. So Peter's heartbroken from this negative confession. Now, what Jesus told you that night, Terry, was, what the Lord told you that night was, that he had to physically stop the effects of those 3 denials. So he got 3 affirmations of Peter's love for him, which negated and put out of power those 3 denials. He was breaking the power over the words that were spoken. And you know, you can do that. I've spoken words, and I know those words were wrong. And sometimes right then I say, oh no, I take those words back in Jesus' name, mm-hmm. and I negate it with a positive confession. And sometimes it'll take me almost till nightfall to realize what I've done. But I hardly ever go past a day without taking negative things and turning them positive. I'm telling you, the negative will absolutely mess you up. Mm-hmm. I love one of Brother Hagin's stories. It's one of my favorites. He preached in places from in those olden days before cassettes. He preached from 3 to 8 weeks. He wouldn't take a meeting less than 3 weeks because he had to build faith in the people. So he stayed in those places a long time, and he would watch who got their healing and who didn't get their healing, and he kept accurate records. 90% got their healing, 10% did not in this meeting. Had a record of every sermon he ever preached and what happened. Well, he got to looking, 10% are not getting their healing. So he began to fast and pray about the 10% that were not getting their healing. 10% are not getting their healing. Tuesdays and Thursdays were his fast days. Fast and pray. Then it dropped down. 80% got their healing, 20 did not. Oh, fast and pray more, fast and pray more. 20% are not getting healing. It drops down. 50% are getting healed, 50% are not. Oh my goodness, he fasts and prays. He's almost starved now. No, I just added that. But he got in a meeting, and in that meeting in a town, they were having a big revival, and he forgot all about his fasting and praying. It was a Pentecostal church, 1,000 people, 1,000 members. Ooh, that was big in those days. And so the Lord said to him, he wasn't even fasting and praying. He said, you remember that question you've had to me? Yes. He said, this church is in revival. Yes. And they're all excited. They've got 1,000 members. He said, do you know that there's 100,000 people in this town? If this church started fasting and praying and crying about the 99,000 that don't go here, they would lose their spirit of revival and they'd go down into negativism and loss. So Brother Hagin switched it around and praised God for who was getting healed. Negativism is not good. It is out. And that's what God said about his laws, positive or negative, they work. This is Billy Brim. Shalom until tomorrow.